The Bible says, "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. This is found in the famous 10th chapter of Acts and the outstanding verse 8. We're going to be back and talk about a wonderful word of life today on the broadcast. But before we get into the message, let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. Will you join us if you can and care to do so? Let us pray. Our Father and our God of heaven and earth, we come into thy sanctified presence with thankful hearts for the sparing of our lives to this present moment. And our heart goes out today, Father, for those who are sick, for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, and for those who find themselves in the sea of sin. We trust, Father, that thy word may be realized by people who confront all these circumstances of life, that it is a sustaining influence to assist those who are in need. We're thankful, Father, for thy word that can be a guide to man, and that we can learn from thy word that we gain peace with thee by obeying the glorious gospel. And then with the influence of Christianity in our life, we can see clearly to live at peace with our fellow man. May this be the course of our nation and nations of the world, that many of the problems that seem to be so knotty and so hard to solve that are about us, that men may realize that God has the answer. For he is a God of life, and he is a God of peace. We pray, Father, for those who make this broadcast possible. And as we sound forth thy truth, may this word indeed accomplish what you have in mind. Be with us today, then, as we proclaim this teaching. This we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. We read from that famous 10th chapter of Romans, and I'm sure that if you've read it and meditated upon it, that you have thrilled at the great teaching here, that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, what are we going to do with this word of faith? Look at verse 9, if you're following the text here in the 10th chapter, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, here's the point. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, no doubt you've been able to pick out, as we read from this sequence here in the 10th chapter of Romans, the wonderful word of life that we're considering today. And that word, of course, is the word confession. We're not talking now about a confession of sins. We're talking about the confession of faith that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Notice once again the 9th and 10th verses of this same 10th chapter, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I believe it's an interesting point to notice that the confession that is made with the mouth is made unto salvation. I'd like to have you notice that it's definitely linked with what we say with our mouth, also what we do with our heart in full belief. We told you just a few weeks ago on this broadcast that when a person really has the Bible faith, he has three things in mind: a belief, a trust or love, and an obedience. And that's what's implied here when we announce with our mouth what we believe in our heart. What are we doing? We're simply announcing what we believe and what we intend to be. You know, it's much like a person who has a certain profession that may come to a community. I was in a community not too long ago in Ohio, and I remember driving down a certain street while in that city in that state. And as I was driving down that street, I saw a man putting up a sign. And that sign had to do with a man who was going to be a dentist. And I thought about what I was going to say on this broadcast. I had this in mind, that we were arranging a series of broadcasts. And I thought, now there's a good illustration for the confession of our faith. You see, what this sign indicated, not alone the man's name and the fact that he was a dentist, but this indicated what he was and what he intended to do. The wonderful thing about the confession of faith is that which begins prior to our baptism. And I'd like to call your attention once again on the broadcast today, the story of the man from Ethiopia. After hearing the glorious gospel of Christ preached to him by Philip the evangelist, who was inspired of God, you remember he said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And it continues on in that famous 8th chapter of Acts by saying, as Philip answered him, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God." This was a prelude to his baptism. But, you see, the confession does not stop with what we do to become a Christian. And I believe this is why this is so apparent in the 10th chapter of Romans, when it says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You see, we are saved from our past sins when we obey the gospel, but our eternal salvation becomes a reality when we enter through the gates into the city. Revelation 22:14 makes this quite clear. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter through the gate into the city." When one announces that he or she believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's an announcement of conviction. And it makes this person eligible at that time to be immersed into Christ Jesus. But you see, daily in our Christian life, we're either confessing or professing Christ, or we're denying him. I believe this is what Jesus meant in the 10th chapter of Matthew. And be sure and look at Matthew 10:32-33. It conveys the idea there that whosoever shall confess me before men, that's what Jesus said, "I will confess before my Father which is in heaven." But then he says, "Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." The reason I think this goes into more of an aspect of life than just what we say. How would a person deny Jesus? Do you mean to tell me the only way that a person could deny Jesus was to say, "Well, I've come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ really isn't the Son of God"? Now, I've never heard people say that. Perhaps there are some who have said it, even though I've never found a person who really said about his Christian life that this is the worst mistake I've made in my life. I've never found a man who said that. But I believe denying Christ is something that's done more times by what we do than by what we say. So the announcement that we believe that Christ is the Son of God does not stop with our obedience primarily, but it goes into every avenue of Christian living. You see, like the dentist in Ohio, you're stating what you believe, what you are, and then you're also stating what you intend to do. So our life goes up before God each day, either as a sweet-smelling savor, or it goes up as something that's obnoxious to the nostrils of God. How true this is when we look at such a teaching as Romans 12:1, when we are told there through the beseeching of Paul that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now that conveys the idea of something that's daily. As a living sacrifice, it'll be holy and acceptable in his sight, which is our reasonable service or our spiritual worship. You see, it has to do with our thinking. It has to do with the course of what we are doing with our life as either a worship to God or a denial of Almighty God. Let us not be like the Apostle Peter, who on an occasion denied Christ 3 times. You're aware of the fact that when he woke up to the realization of what he had done, just as the Savior had said that he would do, the book says he went out and wept bitterly. And I've tried to, when I read that biblical account, to try to visualize in my mind how the Apostle Peter must have felt. I am sure that the bottom of his life dropped out when the stark reality came home to him that I said I would even give my life before I would deny him, and now I've done the very thing that he told me to do. You see, when you announce with your mouth what you believe in your heart, then you're just like one who enters into the wonderful tie of marriage. We are aware of the fact when one says that he will love, honor, and cherish, as well as when the bride says that to the groom. This isn't just something for the wedding day. This isn't just something for the first few days of marriage, but it's something that extends on through the entire life. I want to ask you on this broadcast today, how many times each day do you have an opportunity to confess your faith in Christ? Oh, I'm sure you don't tell everyone that you confess your faith in Christ to, that you believe that Christ is the Son of God, but you prove it. You prove it by your action. And how true it is that many times actions speak louder, clearer, more vividly than words. So it's a wonderful thing to realize that a word that's wonderful in life is the word confession. Now, we are told to confess our sins one to another, and I'm sure we realize in the life of Christians that this was true. But the important factor is that when we announce that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, we are stating the fundamental fact, friends, of the entire Bible. That Matthew 16:16, where Peter made that statement, was truly the fundamental fact of the Bible. You see, if Jesus is not the Son of God, then we understand him to be an impostor. And we cannot have salvation through an impostor. We can't have salvation through the death of an impostor, but we can have salvation through the death of Jesus, the Son of God. So we announce with our mouth what we believe in our heart, that Christ is the Son of God. We follow that complete obedience with baptism into Christ, just as the Bible teaches it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So as we leave this broadcast with you today, we trust it's been a benefit to you as it truly comes into your family circle. We want to come into your home, and we trust we can come into your heart. And I trust that you'll keep this broadcast in mind. Let us let you know that your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ want to assist you any way they can. Why don't you call upon them? Be to the service the very next time they meet. And tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast. And be with us again next time as we'll deal once again with wonderful words of life.